Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So, 1-2-1-2, waiting for Collie.
All right, here we go.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Woo! I'm good. I've just lost my notes. Feck. Hang on.
After all that.
So tell me, Collie. Are you wearing budgie smugglers?
No, I'm not. What an opening. Brilliant. Straight in.
I've been waiting for years to use that as an opening.
Exactly, yeah.
I've been waiting for years.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Because we are going to be talking about budgies.
Yeah, our Australian pals.
Australian.
Yeah, because like I think that's a shock to a lot of people. I think they don't realise where budgies come from.
Yeah.
I think we're so familiar. They're one of those animals, I think alongside goldfish, they're one of the most popular animals to have in a household on the face of the planet, which is pretty awesome to think about for a humble little wild boar from the outback. But like, I mean, it's one of those creatures as well that I grew up with budgies. Every one of my grandparents had them. All the Elwins on the road had them.
Really?
I mean, it was such a common thing. I mean, if you look at most, even, you know, autobiography movies. I think I was watching one about Elton John the other day, and they had a budgie in the house. And
yeah.
Queen, the Freddie Mercury biography, they had a budgie in that as well. It's kind of like one of those things. It's just associated with households. You know,
yeah,
and
your grannies and stuff.
Your granny and your
and older people and single people and all that stuff. You know, you have a budgie. But I think like the goldfish as well as being one of the most popular pets, they're probably one of the most misunderstood.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to ethics of keeping them and the correct way of keeping an animal like that.
But first of all, that whole Australian thing, like, they're Australian?
Yeah, so in the outback, so Australia, obviously, it's massive. It's a vast, vast, you know, continent. And, you know, it's not an easy place to air out in existence. So budgies are very, very small little birds. They're a small member of the parrot family. And they have to basically find food and water in the deserts and the open grasslands of the outback of Australia. So that makes them highly nomadic species, so they have to be on the wing literally all the time, like flying around, and what they're basically looking for is water and food, which is primarily grass seed for them.
Right.
So that's what they're out looking for, that's what they're trying to get. The way they live make them opportunistic breeders, so they don't have a breeding season. They breed whenever there's enough food and water to keep them going. Yeah, and they have a really interesting kind of a system of breeding as well. So they'll pair up and they'll find a little, they like holes in trees, like a burrow in a branch almost, and they'll pair up and mate, and then female will find a nice spot with the male to lay her eggs, and she'll lay a couple of eggs which they'll incubate and hatch. But as those chicks are growing, they'll actually lay an extra couple of eggs, and then maybe a couple more if times are good. So they'll have different generations of chicks within the same nest that they feed up as they're moving along. And it's kind of an insurance policy.
Yeah.
But it's a very clever way of, you know, raising a lot of chicks fast to keep the population up and getting them out. And that also means that they can have a chick that they're feeding crop
milk,
chewed up crop food, which basically is like a paste that the parents will regurgitate for them. And then they have other ones that they can actually feed just pure seed that they've collected. So that means they can have like the seed stored in one part of their mouth for the older chicks, and then the chewed up kind of paste that they make for the younger ones. So they can really, it's really efficient system. And I thought that was really interesting when I heard it. And then when they hit on the wing, the only thing that's really after them is other birds of prey.
Yeah.
Once they get out of that nest, because in the nest they're vulnerable obviously to lots of snakes. My pals will be in there munching them. But once they get on the wing, they're really just targeted by, you know, the ridgetails and the small raptor species that are out there. And their main defense then against them is these spectacular, like up to a million birds can be in these massive mobs, they're called, of these budgies. And it's like
huge flocks.
Yeah, what we'd see with the murmurations of starlings, very similar. And they just all fly in mad directions to try and distract predators, and they'll take off 40 kilometers an hour they can actually hit, which is pretty impressive for a small little bird like that. And here's another good thing. Basically, budgies have two speeds: go fast and go slightly slower than fast. And it was only discovered by scientists in the University of Queensland. So they really don't have like a variation in speeds, like subtle gear changes. They only have these two gears where they're just bolting along. And it's probably due to this kind of flock society that they've come up with, this mob, budgie mob society, that keeps them on the wing, keeps them moving so fast and living this high speed and pretty cool kind of lifestyle for a bird.
Life in the fast lane.
Yeah, and incredibly, and here's another thing, I mean, like, they're incredibly social birds. They're just constantly chattering, and you know, I have two budgies in my kitchen, and you know,
and they sound beautiful, don't they, to us? Like the murmurations that they make to each other, the murmurings, they're beautiful. They're sort of really comforting as well, aren't they?
And again, incredibly sociable bird, and like the noises that they make are quite soothing. But also, I just noticed that they're very similar to, I don't know if you ever heard R2-D2 off Star Wars. They have that kind of, sometimes they go, and it's, I often wonder, was a budgie involved in the inspiration for the sounds there?
Might well have been. Sound designers get their inspiration from everywhere.
Yeah, you can compare it there. Roll some sounds there, you know, in the background for comparison.
Oh, R2-D2.
Yeah. My two budgies, Bonnie and Clyde.
But come here to me. Talk to me about colour, because, of course, the ones that we see, they're all mad colours, but they're not those mad colours in the wild, sure they're not?
No, they're quite a dull green and a black. That's like a universal colour with them. There's no fancy paint jobs in them in the wild.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same as dogs or cats, and a lot of the pets we have domesticated, that we've basically taken them in and bred them to our liking. It's crazy to think you can get such variation, because, I mean, you literally can get nearly every colour under the sun in budgies now. They're so varied. But if you're compared the captive show budgies, that they actually do have shows, like dog shows for them.
Wow.
If you compare one of the budgies in the cages there to a wild bird, they're nearly twice the size. They've been bred not only for colours, but like actually like bigger, and the feathers are more pronounced. You know, budgie fanciers will breed them in these, you know, to make them extreme versions of their wild cousins. So it's very interesting. Like, I would have thought that, you know, a budgie is a budgie, but yeah, obviously it's quite similar to you know, a wolf can be bred into a chihuahua or an Irish wolfhound, you know. So it's you know, it's crazy to see what you can actually stretch out of these animals when you put them under pressure from human demands on their you know, for aesthetic demands, I suppose, is the best word to use for budgies.
Yeah, so we just mess around with breeding and see what we come up with.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So how did we get them?
Well, they've been kept around for years. I don't know how we ended up with them. I know it was the Brits were the big keepers of budgies as pets. But, you know, birds have been kept for, you know, as long as people, you know, have been settled. And songbirds were constantly kept as pets by the Romans. You know, the French kept birds. The Chinese were big into keeping pet birds. So I think when people colonized places like Australia, Europeans colonized Australia, they looked at these incredible parrots, because Australia is a land of parrots. You've got so many different species down there, it's unbelievable. And then when you find a hardy little bird like a budgie that breeds readily, it's almost as if it was handmade to be, you know, domesticated and a companion for people as pets.
Exploited.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was doing a bit of reading around, and I found out that the first pair, whoops, my notes, it's windy. I'm sitting out by the lake again. I'm sitting down in Dublin Zoo.
Oh, hey.
By the primates, and I'm watching all the ducks. And I know what the ducks are up to now, because I listened to our last episode.
Yeah.
But so I was doing a bit of reading about the budgies, and apparently the first pair was brought to England in... I think it was 1840, certainly the 1840s. And Queen Victoria was given a pair in 1845. And from the time that the first pair was introduced around 1840, and by the time they became everywhere, everybody wanted these birds, it was only about 20 years.
That's mental.
It's incredible. And I came across this lovely story of an experience that somebody had with the enormity and the huge numbers of these birds that were being imported, you know, captured from the wild and imported into England. Because as we all know, the trade in wildlife in the 1800s was pretty big, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of animals being captured from the wild and brought to different places. And very often, like if you go down to the Dead Zoo, the Natural History Museum in Dublin, the animals that they have there stuffed, a lot of them are from the 1900s and early 20th century, and they would have been essentially shot on demand. You know, we want this specimen and we want that specimen, and people would go out and collect animals. So there's an awful lot of animal collecting going on. But apparently the numbers of the birds that were coming in were phenomenal. So one of the stories that captured my imagination was about a guy who encountered large numbers of these birds being brought into London in 1861. So through the power of radio and through the power of audio, I'm going to take you back in time. I'm going to release you from your coronavirus self-isolation. And we're going to go back in time to London of 1861. And we land in the Docklands. So this story of mine involves a couple of characters. And the main character is a German guy. And his name was Johann Christian Karl Jamrach. He eventually became an English citizen and called himself Charles Jamrach. I think Jamrach is what he called himself. We call him Charles anyway. He came to London in 1845 and he set up shop down near the Docklands. He ended up having this monopoly in wild animal trade because whenever the ships came in, sailors would have collected lots of different animals along the way, birds and all other species. And he got into the habit of rushing down to the ships and buying up whatever the sailors had to sell. He also had agents in other ports around England and the continent, so he was really well known for selling animals. In 1861, a man who was attached to the London Zoological Gardens, that was opened in 1828, just a couple of years before this Dublin Zoo was opened, which was opened in 1831, and a man called Buckland, who was associated with the zoo, he got a note from Charles Jamrach to say, I have something really interesting and I think you should come down to my building. So he did. He went into the office. Jamrach brought him upstairs to the first floor and Buckland wrote down what he experienced as he was approaching a door on top of this landing. So when they got to the doorway, he said he had barely even touched the door when he could feel almost vibrating coming from the room. And he said to himself, it sounded like the beating of a very heavy storm of rain upon the glass of a greenhouse. And then they went inside. And I think he must have almost fainted because what he saw, and he says himself, was one mass of Australian grass parakeets, because that's what they are. They're grass parakeets, essentially.
Common name, yeah, that's right.
And when he walked into the room, he said, all the birds flew up into a dense cloud, flying about the room just like a cloud of gnats on a hot summer's evening, their wings causing a rush of air like the wind from a winnowing machine.
He's such an erudite speaker. It's unbelievable, isn't he? He really paints a picture with his words.
Oh, it's just beautiful, beautiful. He wanted to know, obviously, how many birds are in there. And the guy told him, oh, I have 3,000 pairs. He had 6,000 birds in two small rooms in his buildings.
Holy cow.
And apparently, even with 3,000 breeding pairs, he had no problem getting rid of them. Like, they were sold in units of 100 or 1,000. So that's how fast it went. So it went from one pair in 1840 to practically everybody having budgies 20 years later.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and I think at some point the Australians had to actually put a stop to the export of the live animals because they're just decimating populations. I mean, yeah, there were big populations of them there, but if you're having that amount of numbers of birds being sold at a time, I mean, that'll just kill it, you know? So we've talked about it from the human side and how fascinated we are by that, but what about from the animal side? So how should we actually be keeping budgies at home?
Yeah, so my good pal Shauna from Shauna's Pets, I straight up didn't have a clue about budgies up until a few months ago when I picked up a pair from Shauna, but she runs a very reputable pet shop in Dublin City Centre and is all about ethics. So she was saying to me that they have to be kept in pairs and they have to be kept in a big cage. And then, of course, all the standard, always food and water there and, you know, keep them clean. But that's how hardy they are. That's a nice, simple explanation of it. The thing that we used to do back when I was a kid and my granny would have kept them, it was always a lone budgie, unfortunately, in a cage. And
with a mirror.
With a mirror and tapping the mirror all day trying to get a response out because as this incredibly, incredibly sociable bird, which was, you know, evolved to live in flocks and chatter all day with its peers and its the rest of its species, to put it in a cage and have it live out its life there seems like a terrible lonely existence and a bit of a nightmare for the animals.
Well, so I think a lot of us are getting into that mindset now of how it might be when we keep animals by themselves. So I mean, I've any number of acquaintances and family members who are stuck by themselves in quarantine, and they're starting to go crazy because
it's actually a really good,
they're lonely and we're social animals.
It's a really good social experiment to show people that it's not a good idea to be to be locked in a cage on your own. Even with your own family, it's kind of difficult.
But that can be worse. Or to have a dog at home for 10 hours. I know, again, people who have big dogs at home in small houses, and they go out to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, they come home at 6, and the dog's been alone all day, and they think it's fine, but it's really not. And we're only finding that out now. But I have to say, I still feel bad for budgies. Now, I know you have a pair, but I do feel bad for budgies stuck in cages. And if there's an opportunity for them to come out, I would feel better about that, because obviously they were built to fly. They need to fly, and they need a lot of enrichment.
They need enrichment. And the fortunate thing about budgies are, if you put a bit of work in with them, like any animal. So I've been working with these two that I have for the last while, just to try and get them, you know, comfortable with me and give them a little bit more breathing space. And it starts off with hand feeding. I present food on my hand to them, and they realize that I'm not a bad guy, and they'll eat off my hand. And now they're coming out of the cage and sitting on my shoulder.
Aww.
To come and feed off the hand, and then they'll fly around the kitchen. Now, it can be a bit of a pain getting them back into the cage, but they're still having a bit of exercise.
Yeah.
And slowly over years, because my grandfather kept a budgie on its own, but he had a marvellous relationship with the bird, and it lived for many, many years, and it literally would sit on his shoulder like a pirate's parrot, you know. So it was really good. And it's just, if you they're so intelligent. They're very intelligent little birds, and great mimics of voices as well.
Some laws were brought into Switzerland a few years back to do with pets and animal welfare, and one of the laws was you cannot have certain species by themselves.
Wow.
So things like budgies and other parrots, you cannot have them by themselves, which I think is very enlightened. So, Collie, I have one more request.
Okay.
Why don't you take us into your kitchen and introduce us to your budgies?
Okay. So I'm looking at my two budgies, Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie is bright yellow with two little dots on the side of her face. And Clyde is a lovely greenish blue with a yellow head, and again two little dots on the side of the head. Really distinctive, very pretty little birds. Yeah, a bit of feed, a bit of seed there for your pals, some fresh water. Now, enjoy.
The Critter Shed is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts. As is my podcast, Petrified. You'll find more great shows at thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.